This is Amaranth.
Hey Arthur, this is Tom, aka the Rambled Redhead. Just want to leave you a quick message. I realized when I left you my last message, I forgot to make a comment about your quality of your show, audio-wise. And I just want to let you know that you sound so hot. I mean, totally hot, dude. Anyway, I just thought it was really good. And I never had a complaint with the quality of your show, ever. I thought it was always great. And you definitely did your homework ahead of time. But now you even sound even hotter than before. So I just thought I'd call and leave a message. And I love hearing your message, or your show is about how you were the first to know. And you're on the other side of the world, and you're still the first to know. It just shows you what a wonderful world that the internet can do. But I have to say kudos to Big Patty and Holly and Walt and all the others that are involved in the other shoes, because it's really good. And I'm glad that you, like you said, I just think it's amazing how, what a community that we are all part of and how great it can be and how helpful we can be. And I just want to echo that for you. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey Arthur, how are you? It's Brian in Rochester from My Gay Two Cents. Just wanted to give a call and say howdy, and just finished listening to your last two shows. And I just wanted to call you because something kind of funny happened, actually. Because of my own short-term memory, I was sitting at my computer listening to your last show, which I believe was called Changes, and I said, oh, I gotta add myself to Arthur's Frapper Map. So I went in and added myself to your Frapper Map, and then about 2 minutes later on your show, you said thanks to Brian in Rochester for adding himself to the Frapper Map. And I said, God, he's fast. How the heck did he know I just did that? And I realized, of course, I have done it twice. Duh. But I was going to say, gee, I know that we're either a day ahead or a day behind or something like that, but that was pretty darn quick. That surprised me for a second. I thought it was funny, and I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Enjoying the shows. Keep it up, and talk to you soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hi, and welcome to episode 70 of the Amaranth Podcast. My name is Arthur, a gay American now living in New Zealand, and it's time again for a political update. Today, Mitt Romney suspended his campaign. What does that mean for McCain and the Republicans? And Super Tuesday produced no clear winner for Democrats. Does that mean we're heading for a brokered convention? And pundits hand spin. There was plenty of that on Super Tuesday coverage, and there'll be even more now. Well, joining me to discuss all this and more is Archer from archerradio.com and Jason from Jason's View from dc.blogspot.com. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Well, it's been an eventful day, hasn't it?
Yes, it certainly has.
Yes, it has.
Now, the thing is that, of course, Mitt Romney suspended his campaign. He didn't actually withdraw. So that means he retains control of his delegates to the end, which may or may not be significant. But I noticed that the pundits have already declared that McCain has, in their words, all but clinched the Republican nomination. And, you know, in the last time that we got together, we were saying, and as it turned out very accurately, that Super Tuesday would produce no clear winner. That was, in essence, our prediction, and we were right. So what I'm wondering is, given how often pundits have been wrong, has McCain really clinched the nomination, and does Huckabee still have a shot? Jason, let's start with you. What do you think about that?
I don't see where he wins.
Who he?
I don't see Huckabee. I don't see going forward where he wins. There aren't enough states that have enough sort of, I'm sorry, I'll use this phrase, of his people available. They go on to, well, he might do well in Louisiana, but I'm sorry, the Potomac primary is next Tuesday. Yay! I can't see him winning Virginia. I can't see him winning the district. Of course, there are probably six Republicans in the district anyway. So,
true.
And I can't see him winning Maryland. I don't see the reason I don't see this happening. I don't see that if is that I believe the winner-take-all states for the Republicans were on Super Tuesday. There, I think most of the other states now going forward are proportional. So I don't see how Huckabee makes up the difference. You know, he has, let's see, McCain got 605 delegates on Super Tuesday alone. McCain has, according to the Washington Post, McCain has 707 delegates, Romney has 294, and Huckabee has 195. I don't see how, you know, unless John McCain drops dead, I don't see how he can't be nominated. The map is just not there. It's just not...
yeah, because he would need to get 1,000 delegates, roughly.
Right.
If I could say, too, that the ABC News said tonight that there are just enough delegates left that if Huckabee had a chance, he would have to win every single state to tie John McCain for delegates.
We know that's not going to happen.
Right.
Well, then would you say that Huckabee is running for vice president? Or the vice presidential nomination, I should say.
Well, they brought that up too, but I have to say that I would think McCain would be nuts to put him on the ticket in terms of electability, but he might put him on the ticket because he can win the South. I don't know.
Huckabee's red meat to the far right. I mean, I think, you know, since this is almost a self-perpetuating crisis, partially by the news media and partially by the, you know, right-wing blogosphere and the right-wing talk show hosts on, you know, radio, that McCain has this problem with the far right. Huckabee would be the ideal sort of candidate for that. However, his sort of populist fair tax thing, I think, would cause the economic conservatives' conniptions. So I don't, and I mean, I'm sorry, he you know, he doesn't believe in evolution. He made this comment about how we need to bring the Constitution in line with the Bible. I think there are some problems with him. But
well, it's an interesting point you bring up about the about his fair tax proposal and all that, because McCain has said very publicly that economics and finance and all of that is not his strong suit. And if Huckabee is seen as a bit odd on that front, then I would think that adding Huckabee certainly wouldn't help McCain with fiscal conservatives.
No, I don't think so either. But he's sort of gotten them sewed up anyway.
Who, the fiscal conservatives?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, although if he puts Huckabee in his running mate, it may at least give him cause to reflect. Because the thing is that John McCain is old. I mean, let's be honest, he is old. He has had a lot of health problems over the years. And if he puts somebody like Huckabee in as his running mate, that puts him one questionable heartbeat away from the presidency. And there's a hell of a lot of people who wouldn't want to see that happen, I would have thought.
I think there's some mainstream Republicans who would not want to see him on the ticket.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there is, of course, talking about going into the convention and all these delegates and so on, there is, of course, one other candidate who is still in the Republican race, and that's the Libertarian Ron Paul. What can he hope to accomplish by staying in the race now? I mean, it certainly wouldn't be considered for anything. Can he do anything at all now?
No, I think he's just spending the money that he got.
He makes good copy. I mean, he really, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, here's Ron Paul. You know, and his sort of, it's sort of like the Ron Paul cult almost.
Mm.
You know, they sort of remind me of the Roosh people in a way. He raises a lot of money. I'm assuming he'll be in the race. I don't know if there'll be any more debates. I mean, I know the Democrats certainly want to have more debates, but I don't know. I don't know what venue that he would be able to sort of get free media. And it seems to me one of the debates before South Carolina, they had something about, you know, a national threshold in the polls, and he didn't meet it, and he wasn't in it. I don't remember. I think it was before South Carolina. I want to say it was like the Fox debate. So I don't. I think the thing is, why would McCain need to debate?
Well, yeah, he probably doesn't. But I have a little theory. This has nothing to do with Ron Paul's motivations, because I can't know them, obviously. But looking at it sort of as a opportunity, Ron Paul raises issues that are the opposite of what Republicans want, and yet fit right in with what Democrats want, specifically ending the Iraq War, repealing the Military Commissions Act, and things like that. If he stays in the race and is able to continue to bring up these issues somehow, I mean, how, I don't know, because he can't get media attention, it seems to me that raising those issues can only help the eventual Democratic nominee, because they are issues that the Republicans are vulnerable on. Would either of you agree?
However, I think that he has a problem with social issues.
Yes.
And that's going to be an issue for him if he gets any media coverage with the Democrats, because they don't agree with him on the social issues.
Yes. He also has trouble on fiscal issues, but that's a whole nother topic.
Right.
Yeah, he's another one of these strange people about the flat tax or fair tax or some sort of a tax.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of everything. I think he's a strange little anomaly. I think he had the couple of huge amounts of money that he raised on the internet, which were sort of a one-day story. I really don't see him having much of an impact at all anymore.
I think he's a non-issue.
I think the major focus now is, how does McCain unite the party, or how, you know, who does Rush and his Neanderthals, group of Neanderthals, how do they stop McCain from winning? Which, you know, and there's this talk about a third party and splintering and all that usual crap.
Well, that actually becomes a question. If McCain can't name Huckabee as his running mate, even though he's the number two delegate total in the end, who could McCain pick that would be acceptable to people like Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and James Dobson and all the other right-wing nutcases, who have so much power in the Republican Party, I should add?
Well, I think he might pick somebody who is a complete no-namer, someone that we don't hear about, you know, a senator or a congressman or a governor who is, you know, a conservative politician, but it doesn't have his name out there. It's not nationally known. But who he can bring out as a conservative that people will accept in the Republican Party. I mean, I don't have any names, but I'm just...
You think?
Might choose Fred. Well, of course, you don't have to, you know, get the paddles out and charge them and, you know, bring them back to life. I think that's a possibility. Certainly he has the conservative credentials, and he would appeal to the religious right, and his economics I think would be more acceptable to the conservatives, you know, economic part of the Republican Party, as opposed to to Huckabee's. But I think if Huckabee stays in it to the end and continues to get delegates, and I'm assuming that the Christian right will begin to coalesce around him, if you're having problems with these people, and you know supposedly McCain's pissed them off already, is this going to just piss them off some more? So and they've made nice the whole time, you know. They really have not attacked each other in any way, shape, or form, you know. I thought, as much as I don't like Huckabee's politics, I really did love his line about, you know, that John McCain wasn't a conservative, and Huckabee was saying, you know, this is kind of ridiculous for people to say, and, you know, people need to calm down and just drink decaf. And so, I mean, it was a great line, you know. And so, you know, there's a practical consideration of, and also, does he get trapped into having to pick Huckabee because I'm sure the media will say, oh, well, he, especially if he doesn't pick somebody else who's sort of acceptable to that part of the party, does then the media perpetuate this and go, oh, he can't heal the party, you know,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be one of their major storylines, you know.
Well, I think if he does pick Huckabee, that he may pick him for the conservative side or the southern states or whatever. But if he picks Huckabee, I think it's a shoo-in for the Democrats because everybody knows Huckabee is a wacko. And if it's Hillary, she will get that Clinton machine behind it and point out every weird flaw that Huckabee has.
Well, probably McCain, too, for that matter.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't mean to ask a totally flipped question, but I just want to see if it's only me who sees this. Does Huckabee remind either of you of Kevin Spacey?
Yes, he sort of does.
Whenever he talks, if I close my eyes, in my head I'm seeing Kevin Spacey talking, playing a character.
He sort of looks like him, too,
yeah.
In a way.
He looks a little bit like him, but the voice is too southern to be Kevin Spacey, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of something like Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's a homicidal homosexual, because we all are. Well, let's switch to the Democrats, because they're more fun, unless you had something else, Archer.
No, I was going to say, wait, you mean you're gay?
Surprise!
Oh, my gosh.
The little pink triangle in my album art wasn't a giveaway, huh?
Oh, I guess I don't really know what that means. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Well, I would actually like to move to the Democrats because they're more fun to talk about anyway. Now, on Super Tuesday, of course, the Democratic voters outnumbered Republicans by something like 2-1. But the results for the Democrats didn't produce any clear front runner. I mean, Hillary Clinton is ostensibly the front runner because she's at least somewhat ahead of Barack Obama in delegates. And polls say that nearly 3/4 of Democrats say they'd be happy with either of the two senators as the party's nominee. So, first of all, will the Democrats unite in November? Archer?
Yes, they will. Yes, I completely think that they will. No matter who the nominee is, the Democrats are so ready for a change that they will get behind whoever the nominee is.
I would like to think so.
I would just like to say if there's a way for the Democrats to fuck it up, they'll fuck it up. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, see,
who the hell thought of that
one? I'm just trying to be positive because there is so much momentum behind both Clinton and Obama. It's just, I don't think we can lose.
Well, I was going to say that I've seen in the lead up to Super Tuesday and somewhat since then, although I haven't had a whole lot of time, I've looked at a lot of blogs of liberals and Democrats and also some gay liberal Democrats and all sorts of combinations. And it seems to me that a lot of them have fallen into a Republican trap of attacking, sometimes viciously, the candidate that they don't like. I've noticed that Clinton supporters in particular seem to be complaining a lot about supposed hate-filled remarks coming from the Obama camp. I haven't seen the Obama camp complaining nearly as much about the Clinton supporters doing that. But what I've done, and I've left comments on several different blogs around, saying, hang on a minute, people, keep your eyes on the prize. What matters is defeating the Republican in November. If you if you like one candidate more than the other, then concentrate on what's good about that candidate. Say why you like that candidate, what they can do, and not respond to some imagined slight from the other side, because what matters is defeating the Republicans. Now, my question to you in all that, with my little speech, is do either of you see what I've been saying about this almost petty bickering going on in the blogosphere about Clinton versus Obama?
I have not been keeping up with the blogs as much. I watch more mainstream news and read the Washington Post and so forth. But you hear little things about it. I think once the nominee is chosen, all of that will fall away. But my fear is that in the meantime, the Democrats are going to get this reputation of not being together because of these little fights. And that's going to be a problem in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things which came out of the State of the Union, you know, Obama's snub of Clinton because, you know, she was shaking hands with Teddy Kennedy and he turned the other way. Oh, here's the snub. It's just like, all right, just turned the other way because he was talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
I think the thing is that I think what I think will sort of play against that and we'll sort of tone this down is I think the Republicans, I think until McCain wins, and he's, you know, it'll be a while, there's going to be this ongoing, can he heal the party and can he get the conservatives on his side, which I think will overshadow anything that is in the Democrats. And I also think they decided, this is my personal opinion, that after the South Carolina's primary and the South Carolina debate, which I watched a little bit of and which was just like, you know, a rake on a chalkboard practically. It was just the last one before, well, it was after Florida. It was the week before Super Tuesday, I guess, was very, very calm and talked to the point and, you know, very friendly. And I think they'll go, you know, away with it. I mean, and in sort of in comparison to the Republicans, which was the night before, which looked like a food fight.
yeah.
I think they've toned it down. I also think that this is going to be a long slog. You know, I mean, they're very evenly matched. In all likelihood, the primaries that are coming up over the weekend, and then I'm assuming Obama will probably win here. That'll put him ahead, but then Clinton has strength in, you know, you've got the stuff in the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia, which is on the 12th. Then you have Hawaii, Washington, and Wisconsin, which is on the 19th.
You still have Texas in there.
Yeah, but that's not until March 4th. You have Ohio, Rhode Island, Texas, and Vermont. And Clinton could very easily win both Ohio and Texas.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Pretty handily. So then, you know, it could go all the way. And so the media is going to be looking and is going to magnify every single supposed slight out of proportion. So they do have to watch for that. But I think if they tone it down and they don't do it, and if they're not doing this tit-for-tat thing, I think, knock on wood, then that this won't happen.
Yeah, but now think about this. Notice how quickly people forget about things. 2 weeks ago, everyone was up in arms about how Bill Clinton was saying so many bad things, and that was in the news big time. Have you heard anything about that this week? Nothing. I think people will forget very quickly. Mm. Think of the the way people's minds work these days, they forget very quickly about little things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially
if they're not throwing stones at each other.
Yes.
I mean, the South Carolina debate, like I said, it was just, I had to turn it off because it was just like, oh my God, what are you people doing? You're doing it again. You know, why don't you just douse yourself in gasoline and light a match? You know,
yeah.
It's just like, that what was are the you one doing? What are you doing?
That was the one where John Edwards was just sitting there letting them chew each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is worth pointing out that most of the advertising for the Republicans has been attack ads, and most of the advertising for both Clinton and Obama has been positive and hasn't descended to that level. So those are the images that people are seeing the most.
And we're getting the ads a lot now in Virginia because of next week. But all of Barack so far have been totally positive. He's playing those great, actually those very uplifting commercials, the yes we can, and
yeah,
things like that.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any ads for Clinton? I haven't seen any ads for Clinton at all yet.
I can't say I have either, no.
So.
Well, I don't see any of them unless it's on YouTube, so.
Right.
But I am at a bit of a disadvantage as far as that goes.
But I did notice the Obama ad started the same night as Super Tuesday, literally during the results coming in, I saw the first Obama ad in Virginia.
That's interesting.
Well, he had an ad on during the Super Bowl.
I'd heard that.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Now I don't know if that was a national ad or if that was like a local spot here, but I think it was a national ad. It must have cost him a ton of money.
$2.7 million.
Yes.
Choice.
Yeah.
That's a bit over the top. Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting, because you know, getting back a bit to bloggers, was I read a reference to exit polling, and I think this was just California, but it could have been elsewhere as well, that gay voters went for Clinton by a margin of 2-1, which I thought was kind of interesting. I mean, it's one of those things I thought to myself, oh, really? Because both of them have baggage on those gay and lesbian issues, and neither one of them is a clear favorite as far as that, as far as I can see. But I was fascinated by that because most of the gay bloggers that I know well, I put "no" in quote marks, because I don't actually know any of them, but that I read and that I've interacted with and so on, are pretty much universally supporting Clinton. I can't think of any off the top of my head who I read regularly who are supporting Obama, except, I actually can't think of any. And some are a bit unsure which, either way. And because... go ahead.
I'd just like to add something really quickly. It is amazing to be in the middle of this process and to have two candidates that are just so much better than the Republicans.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, oh my God. And even John Edwards, it was just like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, and the Democrats are raising more money, and I'm thinking like, it's a parallel universe, right? I've slipped through. It's a Doctor Who episode, right? And I'm in the TARDIS, and we've gone into another dimension. But so, sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, actually, that's true. And when I was saying earlier about how nearly three quarters of Democrats said they would be happy with either nominee, and I'm completely in there. I could wholeheartedly support either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama as the nominee. To me, it doesn't matter that much. I just want to win in November.
Me too. And I was saying that on my show yesterday that I don't even feel like I need to vote in the primary because I would like either one of them to be in office. It really wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
You know. But my question, I have a question for you, Arthur. Is why do you think so many gay men are going for Hillary over Barack?
I don't know. I mean, I could get into superficial analysis that it has to do with the whole gay men worshiping women thing. I personally don't buy that argument. I think that that's insulting. I think it has to do with the whole Donnie McClurkin or whatever his name was thing. Some gay activists in particular haven't forgiven Obama for that. They felt he didn't distance himself quickly enough, or that he shouldn't have done it in the first place, which is probably more to the point. They feel that he hasn't talked about gay and lesbian issues or including gay and lesbian people as much as Hillary has. Although I don't know that that's a fair statement either, because you hear what you want to hear. And if you're a Hillary supporter, you're going to hear the good things that she says, and you won't hear the things that Barack Obama says.
Well, you also have the head of his church that he goes to, praising Louis Farrakhan, which I'm assuming is not a real positive spin for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it took him a little while to sort of distance himself from that guy. So that could be additional reason.
Yeah, and a lot of the things that I've been reading and hearing, and not just in blogs, but in so-called alternate media, which would include podcasts, I suppose, but also like websites for gay news sites and that kind of thing, is a lot of it, they just are wrapping themselves in talking points. They're saying the same things over and over again. The Obama supporters are saying that they bring up Don't Ask, Don't Tell in Defense of Marriage Act, even though it was Bill Clinton who did that, and you can't automatically assume that Hillary would have done the same thing in the same position. the Clinton supporters will always bring up Donnie McClurkin or whatever the heck his name is. I can never remember. And mm-hmm. and other things. And I, getting back, I suppose, to what I was saying earlier about pettiness and so on, I would like to see all of these people move past all of that, because it's really irrelevant. What's done is done. You can't change the past anyway. Because as one of those Democrats who'd be happy with either one, I think either one of them will do a decent job, not just for gay and lesbian voters, but for all voters. But what I'm fascinated about is how to move my brethren and sistren, who seem to be so fixated on one or the other, to see past that and look to November now, and not get into this petty bickering about, well, he said this. Oh, no, she said that, you know. And
well, I mean, you could say that across the board.
Well, I suppose that's true.
It wouldn't even have to be within the gay and lesbian community. It's this, you know, this thing that, you know, this huge insult to Dr. Martin Luther King that Hillary said when, you know, she said, you know, Dr. King's dream started happening when, you know, Lyndon Johnson, you know, well, you know, started passed the Voting Rights Act and you know, things like this. And, oh, this is, you know, a dig against him. It's like, no, she was just saying that, you know, here was the person with the dream and you had, it was sort of, she was trying to contrast herself with, you know, she was trying to sort of link herself with Johnson and saying, I'm the person who can get things done.
Well, actually, that's an interesting thing you bring up, because that whole narrative was largely created by the New York Times, because they misquoted something that she said. The larger quote isn't a beat up on Martin Luther King. The larger quote is talking about how you have to have somebody in the White House to deliver these things. It wasn't trying to say that she is LBJ and that Obama is Martin Luther King.
In
context. But the media spun that in an entirely different direction. And one of the best sites for debunking this sort of thing, I think, is Talking Points Memo has a subsite called The Horse's Mouth, where they look at media stories about the campaign, about the various politicians, and deconstructs them and says this is what they're really, this is what the media outlet is really saying, this is what their agenda clearly is.
They must have had a field day with Super Tuesday. Boy,
I actually haven't had a chance to look, to be honest. But I always I have a link to all of the Talking Points Memo blog sites, and there's three of them on my blog. They're together. Because I think they're important enough to go have a look at. Sort of like Media Matters does similar work. But this actually gets into this whole subject of punditry and spin and all the other stuff that goes on around a campaign, and how what starts out is, or can start out, I should say, as an innocent remark or an innocent event can be spun all into something unrecognizable from reality. So I'd like to start talking about that by talking about specifically about the election coverage on Super Tuesday, and ask each of you what surprised you the most about the coverage, good or bad, or both.
Well, I can say that I was watching CNN that night when it was on, and they had only, it was like, I don't know, just after 8 o'clock, and they started, you know, doing the results of certain states, and within like two projections of two states, the guys on CNN were already saying, okay, well, that means that McCain's going to be the front runner and Huckabee will be his vice president. I mean, they were already speculating with only two states had like 2% of the vote counted. And I was like, how can you jump on this already when the results aren't even in yet? So I think they were totally jumping the gun on saying things.
Jason, you had some thoughts on that too, didn't you?
Their storyline was, at least to me, and I watched ABC, I watched CNN, I watched MSNBC.
So your thumb must have been
sort
busy.
was sort of, they, Clinton seemed to have, they only seemed to highlight Clinton's weaknesses and none of her strengths, and they seemed to only highlight Obama's strengths and none of his weaknesses. And they had this big thing about, you know, well, you know, Hillary only won in the bluest of blue states, you know, Tennessee and Oklahoma. She came within a hair's breadth of, you know, winning in Missouri. And Okay, that's true. You know, well, these are states that the Democrats would normally carry. However, you could also say Barack Obama didn't win in these states.
Yeah.
And what constituencies did Hillary Clinton win with that Barack Obama needs to bring over? And, you know, the biggest sort of like a class, gender type divide. Well, you know, she won with people who like make under $50,000, sort of blue collar workers. And in the olden days, we used to call those Reagan Democrats.
Yeah.
So I think you could sort of say that most of the people that voted for Barack Obama, if Clinton was the nominee, would probably come over and vote for her, where he's got a little, I think, work to do with some of these lower income, you know, below $50,000 a year people. Where, and also this thing about, you know, Hillary is way behind with the African-American vote. And what is she going to do about that? And if she's the nominee, how does she bring those in? And that's completely true. And those are legitimate questions. However, just as bad is Barack Obama with Hispanics.
Yeah.
The reason
I was going to say that.
The reason she won in California was because 60%+ of the Hispanics voted for her. So.
And she had the Asians, too.
Yes. And in this country, the largest minority group is Hispanics. Well, how does he bring them in? And there was almost no discussion of that. And then talk about, oh, and Obama has won in these states all across the country that are normally red. He won in Kansas. He won in Idaho. He won in North Dakota. I don't think 100,000 people voted taken together in all three of those states. And I'm sorry, does anybody think in November he's going to win North Dakota, Kansas, or Idaho?
Yeah.
No. And, you know, what the point should have been is look at his organization. Look at all the states that he's gone into that you normally would think he can't do anything with. To me, it's like this is an incredible organization, which you could then say down the line maybe could make some states that are really, really close, like Missouri's been or Ohio's been, bring them into contention. But this notion of, this shows his strength.
Yeah.
You know, there are probably more people in one congressional district in California voted, you know, for either candidate than in all these three states combined. And then the Republican side, it was, you know, how McCain can't close the deal and were a couple other things.
That's an interesting thing in itself, because that's what I was going to say. I noticed was we watched CNN, and throughout the evening they were saying exactly what you were saying, that McCain can't close the deal. At first they were saying, oh, he's the nominee, and then when he started losing some states, he can't close the deal, and he hasn't had a knockout blow and all that kind of thing, until the last hour. And then suddenly it shifted, and they started saying that he was the presumptive nominee. They started saying,
after a while, you can't, you know, he has 600 delegates. It's like he's halfway there.
Yeah, but what struck me about it was the fact that it switched so suddenly. And they started focusing on the divisions in the Democratic race, particularly, as you were saying, the supposed weaknesses of Hillary and the strengths of Obama, you know, focusing on division in the Democratic side and talking about the Republican Party as if they were all going to sit down together, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
And it was just absurd.
In all the states that Huckabee won in the South, McCain came in second. You know, another thing on the Democratic side was which I could not understand, the coronation by the Kennedys of Obama as JFK's heir.
But you know,
they did play that up awfully big.
The lead story on, I think, all the newscasts, and it was this gigantic front page story on the Washington Post, and you know what? She kicked Obama's ass.
Yeah.
In Massachusetts.
She won by like 15%.
Yeah,
she won by like 15 percentage points. It was like, oh, and she won.
But what's interesting two things. One was that it was the older Kennedys who were backing Obama, Ted primarily, but also Caroline, and the younger Kennedys, who were like, you know, a couple of generations down, were all backing Clinton. And she, exit polls show, does a far better job of attracting younger voters than Obama does. So you have to wonder what's going on here. What are they seeing that the old guard can't see? Not that I'm, you know, endorsing one or the other. I'm asking questions here, not proposing that there is an answer to that.
I have to figure out who I'm going to vote for at the elections on Tuesday. This is going to be difficult. My dad voted for Obama.
Oh, so. Did he?
Yep.
I just think that there are so many things that have been coming out so unpredictable this time around that it's hard to say. I mean, you know, why the young people are picking Hillary over Obama or you know, vice versa. Yeah. I just think we're, you know, in for quite a ride once the general election thing starts.
Okay, so we get to the convention, and let's suppose that it's been sorted. Let's hope that it's been
Denver.
Sorted.
Is it Denver? Are they in Denver?
The Republicans are in St. Paul. And let's suppose that it's all sorted out in advance, so there's no brokering of a convention, and one or the other is the nominee. Are they going to pick each other as their running mate, do you think?
See, I've heard some people say yes, some people say no, some people say Hillary would never be vice president because she's too much in control. You know, I don't know.
I have to agree with that. I also don't know the way. I think you get to the convention and you might not have, neither one of them might have enough delegates. I don't know what happens. I don't know how. Unless this is complete. You know, it's very unpredictable. Unless something breaks somehow. If they continue to sort of, you know,
well, there's the superdelegates who make up 20% of the convention.
Well,
if they can be persuaded by the national party apparatus to support who they've decided, who the party leaders have decided should be the nominee, you know, that's 20% of the convention that goes
for a cabinet position or a high level position in the administration.
Yeah,
I mean, I could see Obama running. I could see Obama being Clinton's vice president.
Yes, I could see
that. Vice presidential nominee. I don't see her, you know,
being vice president now.
Right. Well, also because I also think there would be a long-standing story in the press about, oh, this is a demotion for her. How could she possibly accept it? And there would be. And, well, either way it would be set up, there's going to be this constant, you know, I mean, if you think people are being, you know, micro-analyzed in the primaries, imagine how they're going to be micro-analyzed if they were running mates. You know, well, they were together and he blew his nose, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's every action, so... Would you want that? But God, I mean, either way, wouldn't it just be kick-ass?
Yeah, I think it could be a virtually unstoppable combination. But there's,
I would agree with that.
There's also been speculation that Obama might pick Bill Richardson, partly to shore up his poor showing among Hispanic voters.
Yes, but does Bill Richardson actually have the Hispanics behind him?
Well, I don't know that that's true, actually. I think just because he is Hispanic doesn't mean he would have Hispanic support.
Exactly.
I mean, not all African Americans support Obama, for instance, and not all women support Hillary. So
that's true too. See, all these variables that are unpredictable.
Exactly. Well, we haven't solved the election, obviously, but I think we've we haven't brought any more clarity to it. But I like to think we have.
It's always fun to talk about.
It is. It is. Yes. Because so much of what you hear in the mainstream media, well, I was going to say they don't know what they're talking about, but that's not necessarily true. But they have an agenda to promote. And, I mean, my only agenda, which I always make abundantly clear, is that I want to see a Democrat elected in November. But apart from that, I'm still interested in what happens on the Republican side and obviously what happens on the Democratic side. And I just think it's good to talk about these things to, you know, keep people thinking about them and analyzing for themselves.
Yes, totally agree. I also think that... If McCain is sort of, you know, the person who's going to be the Republican nominee, he can sort of slip off the radar and raise money, but he slips off the radar. If the Democrats go to the convention, I mean, let's just imagine that they're within like how many? They're like 4,000 odd delegates and need 2,100 and something to win. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them has that. Of course, or it's very, very close. Can you imagine the amount of press?
Yeah, that's true.
That they will get. Yeah. It'll be
they won't be following McCain, you're right.
You know, it's like, John who? Who's he?
So for
where's Minnesota?
Yeah, so for that, it would be in McCain's best interest for Huckabee to remain competitive to keep media attention on the Republicans, because otherwise they'll forget all about
them.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much for joining me for this discussion. We'll have to have another one when at some point. We'll have to forget when exactly, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see how some of these races shake down.
Yeah.
But thanks again for joining me. And why don't you each just take a moment and talk about your site, Archer?
Well, I am Archer from Archer Radio. I do a daily podcast about my life, and that's pretty much it.
And Jason?
And I'm Jason from Jason's View from DC.blogspot.com, and my little musings about life in Washington, D.C., and all the fun stuff that goes along with living in our nation's capital.
Very good. And, of course, I always have links to both sites on my blog, and I'll remember to put them in the show notes, as I almost always do.
Yes.
But thanks again for joining me, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Just a couple quick things before I go. First, thanks to Tom the Ramble Redhead and to Brian in Rochester for leaving me the voicemail messages. And thanks also to Brian and Michael Sage for leaving me 5-star reviews in iTunes. I'm up to 18 now. Thank you very much. And I've put a badge on my blog for the Frapper map. It's on the right-hand side near the top. It's sort of in a temporary position. And if you want to check it out and make sure that it works, I'd appreciate it, because I'm not quite sure I got the coding right. But that is it for this episode of the Amrens Podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday with more. If you'd like to leave a comment, you can go to my blog, amrens.com, or you can email a comment to comment@amrens.com, that's comment singular, or you can send an email to me personally, which I won't read on the podcast, to Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, @amrens.com. And of course, you too can ring the U.S. Lister line on 206-339-8413. But that's it for this episode. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.